I believe a couple months before Trump left office, they posted a sign up by the freeway where I enter every single day to go to work. And it's a giant, massive billboard. And it reads, "Presidents are temporary. Friends are forever." Hey, my qualifiers. Welcome to another episode of Unqualified News with your host, M. Mauricio. That's me. And this sign has been up there for a very long time. I bring it up now because it just got taken down probably yesterday or maybe within during the weekend or something. So it reads, "Presidents are temporary," and it's a giant square blue. It's a giant blue square, picture that, with white letters, and it says, "Presidents are temporary," and then a giant red square on the bottom, white letters, and it says, "Friends are forever." Wild. I wonder who paid for that billboard, because that billboard was up there for months and months and months. And I never mentioned it, but I always wanted my qualifiers to know about that. I was seeing that every single day going to work, and I don't know how to take that, right? I mean, yeah, presidents are temporary. I mean, friends aren't really forever either, but I kind of see what he's trying to say here, right? So, hey, don't worry about it. I'm still going to be your friend, buddy. All right. Well, for this episode, I bring you guys an array of different stories from all over the place. There's a story in there from HuffPost, and it's Los Angeles basically trying to prosecute a famous skateboarder because he threw parties during this whole pandemic time. So he's going to court. He's going to have to see a judge because he had a couple friends over, or more than a couple, but that's on there. I also have a story there from NBC Washington, and it looks like Virginia is trying to abolish the death penalty. Good, right? That's good, isn't it? I think everybody's with that. I stand with, let's not kill people, right? That's kind of revenge. All right, the next one is New York Post. And this is a quick little bite. I just wanted to put that in there because it's basically saying NYC is going to open their theaters coming up in March, so be ready. Then I found an article from independent.co.uk, and I love reading news about America from a different country. And this is from the UK talking about Ted Cruz when he went to Cancun to escape the freezing temperatures in Texas. He got caught, he felt bad, he came back. It's a zoo. Alrighty, enjoy the episode. Love you guys. Skateboarding champion charged for hosting Los Angeles party amid pandemic. This one comes from HuffPost, the sports section. A skateboarding world champion is among five people prosecutors in Southern California have charged with organizing parties that were possible super spreader events amid the pandemic. Nijah Huston, a four-time world skateboarding champion, and Edward Essa, the owner of a home in the Fairfax District in Los Angeles, held a party last month with at least 40 people that was shut down by police after receiving a complaint. At least two other parties were held at that home last fall, authorities said. Huston and Essa were both charged with creating a nuisance, a misdemeanor. Neither could be reached for comment, the Los Angeles Times reported Saturday. The January 9th party took place when the coronavirus cases were surging at an unprecedented rate following the holidays. Hospitals had exhausted their ICU beds capacity, and officials were constantly urging residents not to gather in large groups. Officers had previously shut down events at the home on September 12th and 13th and October 17th, and issued warnings to the residents that large gatherings violate the mayor's public order, officials said. After the January party, Mayor Eric Garcetti ordered the LA Department of Water and Power to cut off electricity service to the home in the 800 block of North Cursor Avenue. Three other people faced similar charges in unrelated cases, allegedly involving a secret New Year's Eve banquet at Salon Oaxaca in downtown Los Angeles and frequent gatherings behind covered windows at the Hidden River, a Fairfax hotspot. Mike Feuer, the city attorney who acts as LA's top prosecutor, said the coronavirus has dramatically changed the lives of residents, but some have refused to change their behavior. During this crisis, my office has held those individuals and businesses who have had large indoor gatherings violating important public health and safety orders accountable. Those charged, he said, are connected to properties where we allege that indoor parties were held in violation of public health orders. California's virus cases, infection rates, and hospitalizations have dropped precipitously after reaching a record high in early January. And there you go, my qualifiers. That's from HuffPost.com, the sports section. And it's a sports section because they are prosecuting a skateboarding champion, Nyjah Houston. I remember Nyjah Houston when I was in high school, and he was a young kid back then. He was probably like 10 or 8, skateboarding on all the magazines, all the videos. I remember this little kid, man, but now he's not a little kid no more. Now he's throwing parties during the pandemic times. I don't know if I agree with turning off the lights on people, cutting their power because they're throwing parties. That doesn't sit well with me, but... Virginia poised to become first southern state to abolish death penalty. This one comes from NBCWashington.com by Associated Press and Julie Carey. State lawmakers gave final approval Monday to a bill that will end capital punishment in Virginia, a dramatic turnaround for a state that has executed more people in its history than any other. The legislation repealing the death penalty now heads to Democratic Governor Ralph Northam, who has said he will sign the measure into law, making Virginia the 23rd state to stop executions. Over Virginia's long history, this commonwealth has executed more people than any other state. And, like many other states, Virginia has come too close to executing an innocent person. It's time we stop this machinery of death, the governor said in a joint statement with House Speaker Ellen Filler Corn and Senate Majority Leader Dick Solisa. The state Senate approved the death penalty abolition bill on a 22-16 vote. The House followed suit soon after, making Virginia poised to become the first southern state to abolish capital punishment. By abolishing the death penalty, Virginia is creating a new legacy for itself, said Delegate Mike Mullen, a patron of the House of Bill. Never again will the Commonwealth run the risk of executing an innocent person. We should be guided by the tenets of justice, not vengeance. Virginia's new Democratic majority pushed the repeal effort, arguing that the death penalty has been applied disproportionately to people of color, the mentally ill, and the indigent. Republicans raised concerns about justice for victims and their family members, and said there are some crimes that are so heinous that the perpetrators deserve to be executed. Both the House and Senate approved separate repeal bills earlier this month. On Monday, the Senate approved the House bill, advancing it to Northam. The House was expected to vote on the Senate version later in the day. Historically, Virginia has used the death penalty more than any other state, executing nearly 1,400 people since its days as a colony, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. Since the U.S. Supreme Court reinstated the death penalty in 1976, Virginia, with 113 executions, is second only to Texas. Only two men remain in Virginia's death row. Anthony Juniper was sentenced to death in the 2004 slayings of his ex-girlfriend, two of her children, and her brother. Thomas Porter was sentenced to die for the 2005 killing of a Norfolk police officer. The repeal legislation would convert their sentence to life in prison without parole. Democrats favoring abolishment said earlier this month that the death penalty is an archaic punishment in an era when many countries have already moved away from this practice and too costly to implement, given the litigation involved. They also said it has been applied unfairly with people of color, the mentally ill, and the indigent, more likely to end up on death row. The government should not be in the business of killing human beings. It's immoral, inhumane, Democratic Delegate Marcus Simon said. Republicans raised concerns about justice for the victims and their family members, and warned that some killers who otherwise would be on death row could end up being released on parole. Delegate Jason Mayades described the crimes committed by several of the men recently executed by the state in graphic, heartbreaking detail, and argued that certain crimes are so cruel and depraved that the perpetrators deserve the ultimate punishment. If there is one word to describe what happened to these victims, it is cruelty. unimaginable cruelty on a scale that's hard to even process, he said. Virginia's pace has significantly slowed in the recent years, but executions proceeded in the past decade under both Republican and Democratic governors. The state legislature and state officials have acted in recent years to preserve Virginia's ability to carry out executions and limit transparency around the process. When GOP lawmakers controlled the General Assembly in 2016, they advanced a measure that would have forced inmates to die by electric chair if a lethal injection drugs could not be found. Then-Governor Terry McAuliffe, a Democrat and Catholic who said he personally opposed the death penalty, objected to that bill, but introduced a substitute proposal to keep secret the identities of pharmacies that supply lethal injection drugs for executions. In 2017, prison officials revised their procedures to remove more of the execution process from public view after attorneys raised concerns about how long it took to insert intravenous lines into the body of a convicted killer, Ricky Gray, for his execution that January. Last year, death penalty abolition bills in the General Assembly went nowhere. Michael Stone, the executive director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, attributes the dramatic shift to a new focus on racial disparities in the criminal justice system. He credits the Black Lives Matter movement and related protests in response to the death of George Floyd last year. The energy behind the movement and the desire for reform really animated our effort to a significant extent, Stone said. Wow, and there it is, my qualifiers. Virginia is number two in most killings under the death penalty law than Texas. Texas is number one for killing people because they're breaking the law. Virginia's number two, which that comes as a big surprise to me. I wasn't expecting that. New York City movie theaters to reopen next month in latest step towards normalcy. And this one comes from nypost.com, newyorkpost.com, by Bertinat Hogan and Aaron Face. And the New York Post always writes pretty cheesy, so here it goes. Lights, masks, action. Movie theaters can reopen in New York City at limited capacities next month. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced Monday in the latest step back to normalcy amid coronavirus pandemic. Starting March 5th, theaters can reopen at 25% capacity or a maximum of 50 people per screening, whichever is lower, Cuomo announced during a telephone press briefing. Masks are mandatory and seating will be assigned with social distancing in mind, the governor added. And beginning March 15, wedding and catering halls can resume operations at 50% capacity or up to 150 occupants, Cuomo said. With the rollout of the vaccine ongoing, Cuomo in recent weeks has announced phased reopenings of restaurants for indoor dining as well as amusement parks. And that's just a quick story I wanted to bring you, my qualifiers, to just, you see, there's light at the end of the tunnel in New York. They're opening theaters, and soon, hopefully, they'll be doing it here in California as well. It feels good to kind of go back to normal, right? Feels a little good. GOP Texas Congressman attacks Ted Cruz. When a crisis hits my state, I'm there. Alrighty, my qualifiers. This one comes from independent.co.uk. This is a news outlet from the UK, Independent. I've done a story from them in the past by Gustav Killander. Texas House Republican Michael McCaul slammed Ted Cruz for flying to Cancun amidst power outages and freezing temperatures, leaving millions of Texans without heat or clean drinking water. At least 70 people are thought to have died from hypothermia in the state. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, the top Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee said, "Look, when a crisis hits my state, I'm there. I'm not going to go on some vacation. I know Mr. Cruz called it a mistake, and he's owned up to that, but I think that was a big mistake." He added, "And as for me, I was on the ground trying to help my people out and my constituents. And that's what we should be doing in a time of crisis, just like we did during the hurricane season as well." The crisis hit Texas when two winter storms swept across the state between February 10th and 17th. Over 4.3 million homes and businesses ended up without power, some for multiple days in the freezing cold. The main cause of power outages was that natural gas, coal, and nuclear plants stopped functioning as a result of winter storms. Axios reported Sunday that Mr. Cruz invited his college roommate, David Pantone, on the trip. Mr. Pantone stayed in the Ritz-Carlton in Cancun as Mr. Cruz flew back to Texas one day after arriving amid a maelstrom of criticism. Mr. McCall told CNN, "Normally, in Texas, winter times are pretty nice. We haven't been hit by an Arctic blast like this since the 1890s. To put it in perspective, it was down below 5 degrees Fahrenheit, close to 0 degrees for many days." He added that he was without power in the home for about 5 days, no water or electricity. And that was true across the state. It was really unprecedented, a lot of damage. President Joe Biden declared the fallout of the winter storm a major disaster, sending federal aid to Texas. While the temperatures are once again above freezing and the snow is gone, just how many really died won't be known for weeks or maybe months, the Texas Tribune reported. Now that many have got their power back on, the state faces a new crisis, a lack of water, because of burst pipes and other issues. Some Texans had to melt snow to get water during the crisis. The Associated Press reported that 7 million people in the state were ordered to boil their tap water before drinking it. In full damage control mode, Mr. Cruz was mocked yet again over the weekend as he posted photos of himself helping constituents load water into their cars at a time that he had initially planned to still be vacationing at a luxury resort in Mexico. Republican Texas State Representative Gary Gates landed in similar hot water after he flew on a private jet to Florida to get out of his district where part of his home was flooded, telling KPRC-TV that he was motivated out of concern for his family. He said, "Because of my wife's illness that she's had for a couple weeks and my handicapped daughter with her area of the house being flooded, I was just trying to find some easier accommodations for them, and I was trying to find a place where I could continue to work and do things I needed to do. I felt that I needed to be able to be in the best position to try to be somewhere where I had dependable power, dependable internet, and dependable phone services," Mr. Gates. And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's from independent.co.uk. News about the US of A from the UK. And I love reading those. And quite honestly, to me, look, if Ted Cruz did stay in the state, like, what was he gonna do? He wasn't really going to go to people's yards and start shoveling snow and helping them melt the water. You know what I mean? He's a politician. And then he goes onto his IG and starts taking pictures of himself giving away water. Like, come on, guy. It's just, that's what politicians do. They're a face. They're not really there to help. And it's clear, right? Like, do you see it? He got caught, so then he came back a day later. Now he's taking pictures like, hey, look at me. I'm giving out water. First of all, like, he should have never been called out. If you have the means to be able to escape with your family from somewhere where they're in danger or going through a crisis, then go ahead, do it, right? Shouldn't that be allowed? I mean, I understand he's there as a representative, but there's not much he can really do if he's there. Hey, I wanted to have this one on here because there's been a lot of people getting in hot water because they're able to get on their jet and go into a warmer climate out of Texas or, you know, or wherever there's hurricanes. You know what I mean? To me, it just seems like the media really guilt tripped this poor guy. Poor Mr. Ted Cruz. Just wanted to go to Cancun with his fam. Again, I just want to take a couple seconds to thank you, my qualifiers. I really appreciate you guys listening, especially if you're listening to this far into the episode. Thank you. I really do appreciate you. I love doing this. Even if nobody was listening, I think I'd still be doing it. So I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And check out the links on this episode. There's two links there. One is for the merch shop, and it's pretty decent shirts sold through Printful and Etsy. They're pretty good. Very low cost, pretty decent black shirts with a cool looking logo, right? And there's another link there for amateur coin collectors on eBay. That's me selling and buying coins. Well, mainly selling coins, graded or non-graded U.S. coins, world coins. That's a passion that I have. It just came out of nowhere, and I've been doing it for a couple months now. It's fun. Again, love you guys. I really appreciate you listening, and have a great week.